I've been trying to get rid of some of the, I started to say junk, but actually it's hard to say that because, I've been finding some amazing things in my archives up in my study. I have stacks of boxes of all kinds of material, and I've been going through it and throwing away a lot of stuff that there just isn't room for. I have yesterday disposed of quite a collection of Christian independent publications from the early 1970s, when the Jesus People movement was sweeping the land. And that is absolutely amazing. And I have now disposed of those newspapers with their horrible cartoons and their corny articles that God used to touch many lives. And I found poetry that I'd written in childhood. And that was embarrassing. And I found, short stories and all kinds of things. And I found bank records and tax information and so forth. And one of the things I found was when I was in college in New England. This is a check that I haven't seen since 1973. But the check is November 2nd, 1973, in the amount of $8, written to a Miss Jo Ellen Snook. Now, those who've been around for a while here at the ranch will recognize the name Jo Ellen Snook, because I was a poor transfer junior who came in from phys ed one day, and phys ed was a required course at Gordon College. I came in and I went to pull my shoe off and lazily did not untie it first. And so when I pulled on the heel to remove the shoe, the heel and the sole separated from the rest of the body of the shoe, rendering that shoe unwearable, utterly useless. It was ruined. Well, I was shocked and disappointed, but I reached over to pull off the other one, and it too gave up the ghost at the same time. So it was very clear I had to get a new pair of shoes. Try to imagine someone who was so poor and so non-athletic that I only had the one pair of athletic shoes. Okay, I didn't have five different kinds for various sports, etc. But back in that day, the best statement you could make about your prowess in athletics was if you had leather athletic shoes. And the ones that had just worn out and rotted off my feet were indeed leather shoes that I'd bought a couple of years earlier, and they had lasted me for 2 years, just over 2 years, because I got them when I started college at Montreat. Well, I had to have a new pair of shoes, but I prayed and I asked the Lord if He would please let me get the shoe of my dreams, the Converse All-Stars, leather Converse All-Stars. And this is before Nike, Adidas, any of those companies. Back then, there were two materials that they made athletic shoes from. One was canvas, and the other was leather. And if you were really, prosperous and a real fan, then you wanted the leather shoes, not the canvas that are now back in vogue if you want Converse All-Stars. But I prayed, and I said, Lord, I know that I don't need leather Converse All-Stars, but it would mean so much to me. If I have to get those cheap imitations from overseas that they sell in the bookstore for about $3, it will be an utter humiliation. The soles are hard, not soft, and they're, everybody will know I just got them out of that bin in the bookstore, and they're terrible. Please, Lord, please don't make me get those. I know you love to give good gifts to your children. Now, I don't have enough money to buy leather Converse All-Stars. I don't even have a car to get off campus. But I know that you are my father, and you've promised to meet all my needs. So I know I'm going to get a new pair of shoes. But if you would please make it possible for me to get leather Converse All-Stars, it would mean so much to me. The next morning, when I went to check my mailbox, some guys behind me on the other side of the corridor were reading a notice on a bulletin board, and it was just handwritten notice. It said, leather Converse All-Stars for sale, $9, size 8.5D, color purple. If interested, put a note in box, whatever it was, 2023 or something. So, boy, I heard what they said and my antenna went up. I thought, how can that be? That's my size shoe. It's a leather Converse All-Stars, and those things are selling for 20-something dollars, which back then was just an, you know, unreachable goal for me. I didn't have that much money in my bank account, 20-something. But $9? I could come up with $9. But it said color purple. This is before the famous book and movie, The Color Purple. This was at a time when the idea of a white guy wearing purple sneakers was just a sign that something wasn't right. And so I hoped that maybe this guy, whoever had posted this, was mistaken about the color. Maybe they were navy blue, and I could get away with that. But I put a note in the box, said, if you still have the shoes, I'm interested. I got a note back in my box later in the day. It said, the shoes are yours. Come to Shepherd Hall and ask for Joe Snook. I thought, okay, this is a gag. This has got to be a joke. Somebody is pranking me. I didn't tell anybody I needed shoes. I don't know how this person got my size and all this, but why would a guy named Joe Snook live in a girl's dorm? That just can't be. But I was drawn like a magnet by my curiosity and my need for new shoes. So I went, thinking, I'm going to walk in there. Somebody's going to say, how can I help you? I'd never been in that girl's dorm. I thought, they're going to say, how can I help you? And I'm going to say, I'm looking for Joe Snook. And at that point, several people will burst into laughter and say, he came. And then I will have been pranked. But I went to Shepherd Hall. I asked for Joe Snook. And they said, okay. And they buzzed her and she came downstairs. She was about my height. And she said, how can I help you? I said, I'm Jim Wood. I'm looking to buy your sneakers. Well, she ran up and got them, brought them down. And they were purple. Folks, they weren't kind of purple. They were like, purple! Do you see me? Look at these shoes. So I was not happy with the color, but I could not deny that this was my size, and it was what I'd prayed for. I had not specified the color when I told the Lord that I was really wanting leather Converse All-Stars. I said, why are you selling them? She said, I only wore them a half an hour. They're not really my size. And I said, well, did somebody give them to you? She said, no, I bought them at the store. I said, did you just like the color? She said, no, I hate the color. I said, well, why did you buy them? She said, I don't know. And I said, when did you buy them? She said, last spring. And she said, they've just been sitting in my closet, unused. And I said, so why did you decide to sell them now? She said, well, it was kind of strange, but I was sitting at my desk in my dorm room doing my algebra homework. And all of a sudden, the thought popped into my head, you need to sell those shoes. And so I made the sign and posted it on the bulletin board. I said, when did that thought pop into your head? And as you might imagine, it was right at the time that I was praying in another dorm across campus. Now, I said, well, obviously God intends me to have these shoes. I just wish they weren't that color. And she said, well, instead of selling them to you for $9, which the sign said, which was an amazingly cheap price, that was about a third of the retail, she said, how about if I sell them to you for $8? And I said, that'd be wonderful. Well, here's the check. Okay? Here's the check from 1973. Made out to Joe, Miss Joe Ellen Snook. It turns out Joe was J-O. The E on her note was for Ellen. If I had followed women's basketball at Gordon College, I would have known that she was an outstanding athlete. I did not ask her when she said the shoes were the wrong size if she wore larger or smaller, actually. But I just took my shoes in my size and went off and started wearing them when I had to go to physical education. Here's the thing. I still have those shoes. I don't wear them anymore. My feet have gotten slightly larger as I've gotten older and fatter, and gravity has pulled stuff down into my shoes. I now wear a 9.5 instead of an 8.5. If anyone out there is wanting to send me shoes, don't bother. But here's the thing. Every time I wore those shoes, and I mean every time, I don't mean most of the time or almost every time, every time I wore those shoes, at least one person asked me, where did you get those shoes? Or, how did you choose those shoes? Or, why are you wearing those shoes? Or, why purple? I mean, folks, every time I wore those shoes, somebody wanted to know the backstory. And so I got to share every time I wore those shoes with at least one person how my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19. Now I'll tell you something. Philippians 4:19 is a verse that we all, if we're Christians, need to know, believe, and act on. If we really believe, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches, not according to my riches, not according to what I've got. My God, talking relationship, we're not just talking about everybody out there, we're talking about relationship with the creator of the universe, who spoke the universe into being, made everything out of nothing, still sustains it by the power of his word. That God, my God, will supply all your needs. Everything I need. Everything I need. Now, does he always give us what we want? No. There have been things I've prayed for and God has not given. But God has almost every time shown me that he could and then shown me that he chose not to. Why would you not give me what I asked for? Because he knows better than I do. Why did he give me purple sneakers? Well, so that I'd still be talking about it in my 60s. Okay? 1973 to now, I've been telling this story from time to time. I've told it more often here at the ranch because we have new people coming in every year, and I want our staff and students to know that they can depend on him. He gave me purple sneakers because the reason that I wanted leather Converse All-Stars was I wanted to look cool. That's what I wanted. I was very insecure about my lack of athletic prowess. And so I figured if I wore the right shoes and people saw me doing something that made me look like a klutz, they would just assume I was having a bad day because he must know something about sports. Look at his shoes. Well, when God gave me purple leather Converse All-Stars, people looked at my shoes and assumed I must be colorblind or crazy or something. What's the story there, Jim? God knew that more than needing athletic shoes, I needed to be humbled. And happily, the shoes helped. They helped me to learn to laugh at myself instead of taking myself so seriously. Because, folks, I didn't have a choice. I had to take phys ed in order to graduate. And in order to take phys ed, I had to have athletic shoes. And back then, you didn't have to have 12 different kinds. We did our sports in the gymnasium, and in order to be on the court, you had to have athletic shoes. I couldn't wear my Cole Haans. Okay? So there I was, day after day after day, week after week, being reminded that my Heavenly Father does answer prayer. He does provide what we need. He even gives us better than we need. And He also sometimes displays His sense of humor in order to show us that it's not so important what people think of us. What matters is what people think of Him. You see, nobody's going to get into heaven by having a high opinion of Jim Wood. But in order to go to heaven, you've got to realize that God is holy and that you have sinned and that your only hope is in the Savior that He provided, His beloved Son, Jesus, who is the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. I recently watched a special on Amazon TV called American Gospel. And they interview some wonderful Christians who make the gospel very clear. And they interview some people who have turned aside from the faith. And in the case of one of them, son of a famous preacher, become atheists. And let me tell you, it was tragic to see people mocking God, blaspheming God, encouraging others not to believe in God, and others who were saying, oh, no, you need to believe in God, but not that God, not the God of the Bible, not the God who would send His Son to die. Why would you believe in a God who is a child abuser? If God sent His Son to die on a cross, then that is horrible. Let me tell you something. Unless those folks repent, they're going to discover that another doctrine they've rejected is also true, and that is the doctrine of hell. The reason God sent His Son was because it was the only way that we could be saved. Jesus said, Father, if there's any other way, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus bore the wrath of God so that we might be forgiven. If He loves us that much, Paul says to the church in Rome, He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? So, you can trust Him to provide what you really need, whatever you really need. He won't always agree with you about what you need, but the error will be on your side, not on His. He will do what is best, and the fact is, folks, He gives us more than we need. In Matthew 6, Jesus talks about the fact that we must not worry about what we're going to wear or eat or drink. Verse 31, He says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. That's a promise. That is a promise from Jesus. You seek His kingdom and His righteousness, and God promises He will give you everything you need. He'll give you everything you need. Do you get that? Well, I'm just worried. What if I don't have? God will provide everything you need. Now, one of the ways he'll do it is by enabling you to work. I've shared with you before about how I had a particular thing that I felt I needed, and I wanted a particular kind of that thing. And so I said, Lord, if you'll just give me a job opportunity where I can earn the money to get that, I'll give you all the praise. And God provided that exact amount through the hours that were available for me to work. I mean, God will provide. And not only should we work in order to be able to take care of our needs and view that as God's provision for us, but in Ephesians 4:28, we're told that we should work doing something useful with our hands so that we can give to others. The purpose of our work is not just so that we have, it is so that we have the opportunity to give. God will provide you with skills and opportunity so that you can be in a position of displaying His love and provision to others. In 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul is giving the church instructions about how to give and the importance of giving. And it's a beautiful passage, but let me read just part of it. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through you and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Do you hear that? That's God's word. I didn't make that up. This wasn't prepared by a PR firm in order to try and generate contributions. This is God talking about how to live. Now, folks, I realize there are people who take the scriptures and twist them in order to try and make themselves very, very rich. And some of the preachers who I've seen on TV and heard on radio and seen their books in bookstores basically saying, send me money and you'll get it back 10 times over. Oh, I feel an anointing right now. Anyone who gives in the next half hour is going to receive 100 times back what they have given. I believe those guys don't need to be concerned about where they're going to spend eternity. Because unless they repent, it's already decided. If you use God's word in a dishonest way in order to try and make yourself rich, God promises this, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I'm not telling you, believe God's promise and send me your money. I'm telling you, believe God's promise and live obediently and courageously and joyfully. Do what God tells you to do. Just trust Him. Don't be afraid. God has promised that He will meet your needs. And it's not just financial needs, by the way. It's all your needs. All your needs. So God promises that I'll never be sick? No, you may need sickness. Paul did. He needed a thorn in the flesh. Paul says, I now understand that God gave me that messenger of Satan in order to protect me from becoming arrogant. The affliction that Paul experienced was not just an attack of the enemy. It was a provision from God. He needed to suffer. He needed that reminder of his dependence on God. And as a result, he said, I've learned to glory in my weakness, because when I'm weak, he's strong. God will give us what we need. Not always what we want, but he'll give us what we need. I've been convicted that I need to share some more stories before one of these days I can't remember them anymore. When I was about to start my junior year of college up there in New England, I was going in part on financial aid. And the rule at the college was, if you receive financial aid, you're not allowed to have a car. So the car my parents had given me when I was 16 years old, that I had worked on and invested in and restored, it was a 1963 Chevy Bel Air. It had been totaled by my older brother when it was the family car, and it had been rebuilt, and then I totaled it after I had spent days sanding and getting it all primed and ready to be repainted. I totaled it and had to have it rebuilt again with my money. That car that I'd invested so much love in, had so many memories. I'd traveled all around preaching in that car. I'd slept in that car. I had cans of tuna fish and a can opener and a Sterno always in that car, so that I could, at a moment's notice, and my sleeping bag, so that at a moment's notice I could go anywhere and preach. And you can tell if I was having to heat up tuna over a Sterno that I was really traveling first class. But I had this car, and I realized, I checked around, I couldn't sell it for what I had in it. I didn't owe any money on it. But I put so much love and so much money into it, I could not sell it for that. And I wanted to do something good with it. So I prayed about it and felt led to give it to a ministry. And I donated it to that ministry. I called them. I said, would you all be able to use this? Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much. So I gave them my car. Since that time, God has given me at least 8 vehicles. Now, they were all used vehicles. They were all wonderful provisions. God has given me at least 8 vehicles that I can remember. I made a list before I came down here this morning. I mean, everything from a Peugeot to an Olds Cutlass to a Ford Escort to a big Suburban SUV to a pickup truck to an El Camino. All kinds of vehicles that God has given. You can't outgive God. God is no man's debtor. I gave my beloved Chevy Bel Air, and God has been giving me wonderful old cars ever since. And I'm so thankful. Now, I've also bought cars since then. But every one of the cars I've bought has also been God's provision, including one that was a disaster. It came to be known as the Abomination of Desolation. It was a GM diesel, but it was not a true diesel. GM had made wonderful diesels for years, and then they started taking 150 cubic inch gas engines and converting them to diesel and selling them to unsuspecting people. And after the warranty was used up, the block would crack, and they ended up in a class action lawsuit, which I found out about after I'd gotten rid of the car, which was no easy thing because nobody wanted to buy one. And I had to tell them the truth about the problems with the car. I'm telling you, folks, even the Abomination of Desolation was God's provision. It was something I needed to experience from the Lord. Everything passes through the hand of your loving Father. He loves you. He's looking after you. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. Don't be distracted. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll make your path straight. He'll direct you. He'll show you where you should go. He'll show you what you should do. You say, oh, but God, I need this. Okay, if you need that, God will provide what you need. But the sneakers may be purple. And the car may not be what you thought you needed. God knows better than you what you really need. And God will provide everything you need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Relationally, opportunity-wise, everything you need. I need a job. God knows what you need. It may be that you need some time before you get the job He wants you to have. While I need a rest, it may be that you need to continue so that you can experience God's sufficiency when you're tired. God knows what you need. Come to Him, not as if He's a divine vending machine where you just push a button and get what you ordered. Come to Him as your Father, the one who loves you perfectly, the one whose love for you is from eternity. It is pure, it is holy, and He will never fail to keep His promises. Depend on Him, and He will carry you through. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your amazing grace. We thank You for providing for us beyond all we could ask or imagine. So many things that we take for granted and have never even thought to ask You for. The air we breathe. The water we drink. The food that You faithfully provide. Make us thankful people who recognize our complete dependence on You. You are the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. You are the one who designed our immune system. You are the one who has numbered our days and ordained for us the span of life that we would have on this planet. Thank You that in Your mercy, You have drawn us to Yourself and given us the gift of faith so that we would trust in Christ. Help us to trust You in all things. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. For His sake. Amen. God bless you all.